Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Big guest on tap today. But before that, a reminder, if you're looking for some wrestling, you have some at Jeffersonville, Indiana for KDW. Also, you have NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at Portland, Oregon, where I will be later this afternoon. So check us out there. Support your local independent pro wrestling companies. And I would like to welcome to the show, first time on Turnbuckle Turmoil today, he is King Marcus Anderson. Welcome to the show, King.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, since it is your first time, you will get the traditional first-timer's question. What got you into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Where do I begin? If I had, are we talking a specific memory that I have, or just an event, or I don't know. That one. If it had to be an event, I'd have to say WrestleMania 9. I remember watching it as a little kid. I don't even remember where I was at, but I remember watching just the more or less the spectacle and how the arena was laid out. And I know that some people laud that WrestleMania as being kind of the weaker of the WrestleManias. And to a degree, I do agree with them, but at the same time, you can't deny the time and effort that they had put into making that event feel like it was a huge deal. And I remember watching it and thinking to myself that if I could ever go about doing that, not necessarily in that arena, but just, you know, going to some place bigger than myself and performing in front of a large audience would be absolutely phenomenal. And from there, I was hooked from day one.
You have started your career just in the last couple of years, and your home base of operations, of course, Wrestle Club in Boise, Idaho. What drew you to Wrestle Club?
I had been living in Idaho for quite some time now. Lovely country out here. Originally, I am from Riverside, California, and my parents decided that they wanted to move to somewhere that was a little bit more, I wouldn't say hectic or busy, but just something that was a little bit more relaxed. And we'd been living here for quite some time, but one of the things that we had noticed right off the get-go, because our family does enjoy pro wrestling quite a bit, was there was a lack of professional wrestling here. If we were lucky, we would get a WWE live event probably every 4 or 5 years, maybe a little bit more so than usual. But we had no independent promotions coming out this way. And one day, one of my brothers just told me that there was this guy who had been training to be a pro wrestler for quite some time, and they hadn't gotten a name together or anything like that, but they did have a wrestling ring, and wanted me to come out sometime and check it out, and the opportunities didn't line up quite what they were supposed to be, but it finally gave it a chance and went out with one of my brothers to their first event in Foot Park in Middleton, Idaho. And one thing led to another. I got a chance to talk to the head booker, and I was training with them within the next 2 weeks.
Now, like you said, there's not a lot of independent companies in Idaho. There's only one or two that I know of in Eastern Washington either. So with the lack of independent promotions, do you think that is a positive or a negative to someone just starting out their career, having just a few choices as far as promotions where they can regularly work?
Honestly, I believe that it's both a positive and negative. Negative in the sense that if you don't have the means of money or being able to travel a whole lot, it is definitely, what's the word I'm looking for? A disadvantage. Because a lot of these places, you have to travel quite a ways away just to train every once in a while. I've heard stories of people traveling upwards and around six, seven hours just to train for a day or two and then come back. And unfortunately, with the way that the business can be sometimes, there isn't money in some promotions. I'm not saying there's not money in wrestling in general, but, there's definitely the way that I was put, that was put to me when I went to the Harley Race Wrestling Academy, was you'd be as lucky as getting, a hot dog and handshake. But the experience that you gain from it and the more or less like lessons that you learn, you're able to adapt and go from there. But when it comes to a positive, that's more or less like you obviously have a clear-cut advantage. There's not a whole lot of different promotions. You can more or less focus on the ones that are already there, see what they're looking for, and adapt accordingly.
Now, you have gotten around a little bit. You've wrestled not only in Idaho, but I believe Utah and Washington also. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I did. I should add this in there, even though at first I felt kind of odd about including it in there because it was a training camp, but back in August I did have the opportunity to go to World League Wrestling out in Troy, Missouri, to take part in a training camp that they had, that they were hosting over there, and I was able to wrestle a few matches over there at the training camp. A wonderful experience, by the way. But I have wrestled in Troy, Missouri as well.
Now, on the road trips you've done, I know that a lot of wrestlers over the years, especially ones that log a lot of miles and visit a lot of different cities and states, sometimes don't get the gear bag packed all the way when they leave the venue. Sometimes it's going to be months before they hit that promotion again. What's the strangest thing you've ever left behind on a road trip?
Why did I have a feeling that this is going to pop up? I recently, on the most recent excursion of wrestling that I did to Washington, I left a pair of underwear at a friend's house. And didn't realize it until we had gotten back, and he had sent me a message and had said, "Hey, who left this pair of blue and red underwear at my house, and I immediately knew it was me, checked my bag, I double-checked it thoroughly, and there was nothing there, and I thought to myself, my gosh, I have left a pair of underwear at somebody's house. So probably, like, probably the weirdest thing I've left so far. I'm leaving that open, by the way, because I've got a long career ahead of me.
I've seen some strange things left behind. Now, in your career so far, you've had a lot of singles matches, but you've also done the occasional tag team match. Do you have a preference for singles versus tag team matches?
Not really. I like the dynamics of both. Singles, obviously, just one-on-one. It's fun to more or less just focus on one thing at a time. Your opponent, for example, there's not really the occasional bedlam or mayhem that the tag team match would come into play. But with a tag team match, I guess the chaos is amplified, and there's multiple victims that you can come across. And honestly, when it comes right down to it, I would like to have more tag team matches in the future, but honestly, I don't have a preference when it comes to either of those.
I don't know if you have run into this or not, but in a lot of locker rooms I've been in, I've noticed a lot of wrestlers have very specific tape rituals that they perform. Some people have to rap in a specific way. Some people have things that they write on the tape in a certain way with a certain collar, what have you. Do you yourself have a tape ritual that you perform when you're getting ready for a match?
Honestly, I think it's only bigger matches. I remember for my first debut, or for my debut back in November 2015, I did write the name of my little brother who inspired me to chase our dreams and everything. I wrote his initials on my tape, and then a few days, it was a few weeks before the event, but my one of my dogs, Keely, had passed away. And I actually wrote a little Keely on my wrist tape. And I've done that for a couple, not that those specific names, but I have, if I feel like somebody's needing the boost, or if I, you know, feel like I want to fight for them a little bit harder, then I just write those initials on my wrist tape. I haven't done it as often, but I was thinking about getting back into the tradition of doing so.
Now, besides tape, there's a lot of gear rituals that I've come across in my day as well. Do you see on the shows that you've done so far a lot of interesting rituals as far as the way people get dressed? Because I know some people are very, very ritualistic with it to the point that they won't get into the ring if they deviated from how they get dressed.
I have not come across that just yet. I've heard about that too. I don't have anything like that just yet. I know that, I'm trying to think. You know, I haven't come across that just yet. But I'd imagine here in the next little while, with the promotion that I'm going to be trying to work with, that I'd be seeing that a lot more.
One of the ways that independent wrestlers make a lot of their money, especially on shows that they're not really guaranteed very much if they've traveled a long way, have expenses going in, is merchandising. Have you begun to look at merchandising options?
Yes, I have. Obviously, the T-shirt that's a big moneymaker when it comes to independent wrestling. I know that I had been considering looking at possibly getting miniature crowns made, or even scepters that I can use or that I can sell to my fans that would have just Marcus Anderson and just a regular scepter kind of, you know, merchandise for it. But I've barely, within the last couple of weeks, I've tried to commission an artist to help me out with a T-shirt design, and I'm hoping to have those within the next few months.
Now, Wrestle Club has come out with company T-shirts, and a few of the wrestlers with Wrestle Club also have their T-shirts. And I believe there's also DVDs available at the merchandising tables there. Do you see that just in your local area there in Boise that a lot of the fans are getting into the merchandising that is available from Wrestle Club?
I think so. We've had quite a bit of sale movement from the recent T-shirt that was put out that was the Wrestle Club logo, with more or less our mission statement about changing the world through wrestling. And we even have a local dedicated fan base here that has taken to making their own Wrestle Club T-shirts, just pink with a black color scheme, just like our colors. They've really taken it by a firestorm, and it's very impressive and humbling to see that.
What's been, to date, your fondest memory with a fan? I know wrestlers come across fans constantly, and a lot of them have moments with individual fans, usually away from the bulk of the crowd. What's been the highlight as far as that goes so far?
I might cheat and say those two. Any of the times that we've gone to the Special Olympics events that we have a partnership with the Special Olympics Idaho, and any of the times that their athletes come to our shows, they're nothing but class acts. Absolutely amazing people, and they know us, they wave to us. We get to sit down and talk to them right before an event, after an event. When they have the WWE live events here not too long ago, they actually had the Special Olympics kids there, and they recognized us, and we went and got to chatting for a bit and got to hang out, and it was really fun. That's my first memory. And then we recently worked out back in September, October, we worked at an event for the Haunted World out here in Caldwell, Idaho. That's a local haunted house. And a lot of the fans, as much as I dismay the name, they affectionately call me Burger King. And anytime that they came up to me, they're like, "Oh, how's it going, Burger King?" And I'm like, I hate you right now. I'm going to try to be on my best behavior, but just know that I am not happy with you right now." But every time that any of the little kids popped up or any of the actors popped up and said Burger King, I'd have to laugh about it afterwards, because it's so ridiculous, but it's kind of grown on me a little bit.
Last week you made your Seattle debut for SCW for a benefit show that was held at Evolve Fitness. You were unsuccessful in that match, but afterwards, you shook the referee down to his very core and hurt him directly in his kidneys by loudly and publicly proclaiming your hatred for him. How could you do that?
I got lost in the moment. There were a myriad of things that happened during that match. A lot of hair pulling, a lot of closed fists from my opponents. And I felt that there was no admonishment from the referee. And temper flared. And it was not one of my prouder moments. It was supposed to be a crowning achievement for me, by the way. Pun was intended right there. And I felt like it was taken away from me. So I had some choice words. I am not proud of those, but that's how the business goes sometimes. Is sometimes you let your emotions get the better of you. And so to that referee, I do apologize. I will say that next time maybe telling the opponent to lay off the hair a little bit. I lost a few strands of hair, which I was not happy about. But ultimately, besides the one loss, it was a fun trip. It was a very fun trip.
I will point out that hair pulling has a 5 count, while closed fists have not been called since 1996.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Now, another thing that I'm sure will be beaten as far as your record goes in the next couple of years is longest match. What to date has been the longest match that you've had?
That one I'm trying to remember. So far, if you're not counting the Fatal 4-Way match that I had back in, it was either April or May of this year. That one going a little bit longer, but I was eliminated about the halfway point of that match. I'd have to say either 11 or 12 minutes so far. I'm hoping that eventually I can have longer matches. Just mainly because I'm a huge fan of telling a story in the ring, and well, shorter matches aren't terrible by any means. At the end of the day, I do like telling a story, and so the longer matches, if I can get to that point, I would absolutely love to. I'd love to do so.
Obviously, to do longer matches when you're in there 25, 30, 45 minutes, you need some cardiovascular conditioning. What have you been doing recently as far as your cardiovascular conditioning, and what else do you incorporate with that to maintain ring conditioning?
To be completely honest, I don't do a whole lot of cardiovascular activity. I've been meaning to take that up. I know that here in the next little while, one of my friends, he's a hotshot firefighter here in Idaho, and they incorporate a lot of cardiovascular training in their exercises to fight wildfires out here in the wilderness. And we got to talking about it one night, and he was just like, you know, I will say this to you right now. If you're looking to have a good-looking body, I can't give you that. But what I can give you is the means to be able to rise to the occasion. It'll go a lot longer than what you have been. So I've seen a few of your matches, and you can definitely use some cardiovascular in your exercises. I'm not too sure on what they do. I know that it incorporates a lot of long-distance running with weights. There is some swimming involved. A lot of it, it just comes down to, you just said, that he wouldn't make me look good, but he would make me last and give me that toughness that he has when he has to go out and fight fires for a living.
Now, firemen can be very, very dangerous people, as we all know, especially if they enter a battle royal. Very dangerous people. Are you afraid of a firefighter maybe coming for you in a battle royal?
A little bit. Those guys do, as my friend said, he has the toughness to go longer than normal people can. If we're talking over the top, like an over the top battle royal, honestly, when it comes right down to it, like once I get a hold of him and toss him over, that's it, that's over. And I try to aim for the, in those style matches, I always try to aim to get the person out as quickly as possible so I can move on to my next target.
Sometimes it backfires. As speaking from personal experience, as, you know, they're a treacherous people, those firefighters.
Yes, they are.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT has some questions, so does help you as I pass things along to QT.
All right, then. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, King Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. King Marcus, we usually open up our second segment of the show with a standard question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you have received in the ring? Or in this case, inside or outside? Yes.
Inside the ring, one of our wrestlers here, I can't remember. I get the boys confused. It's either Cedric or Perseus. I was wrestling one of our local tag teams here, a group by the name of Pride of Olympus. And during the match, we were the last two, we had somebody else. And I don't know what was going on through that kid's head. He just lit me up something fierce to the point where I had to sit down for a second after one of the chops and just kind of take a few short breaths. I did not know that kid had that much firepower in him, and quite frankly, I was taken back. We were even in just an open area for this match. It wasn't a building or anything like that, just it was outside of a city hall in, Emmett, Idaho, I believe. And you could hear the chops from a good 100 yards away. That's how bad they were.
Wow, 100 yards away, huh? Ooh.
Yes.
Boy, that is something. Okay. Well, Marcus, you have the title King attached to your name. I searched for the 50 greatest ring names of all time to see how many were indeed or had the name King or the word King attached to it. And at number 45 on this greatest ring names of all time was a wrestler named Crybaby Cannon. His tear-stained cheeks earned him the name Crybaby, but in truth, he achieved the look by wiping the sweat from his face and then rubbing his eyes. He wrestled in the 50s and 60s before becoming a manager in the 70s. He was the brains behind such teams as the Mongols and the Fabulous Kangaroos. He was billed as the world's greatest wrestling manager, and he routinely wore a hard hat and jacket inscribed with the phrase, "Cannon, I am light." Are there any chances that you will inscribe your robe for the New Year's and it will say, "K king, I am right subjects. That's what I was getting at.
Eventually, with it being my first year, I just celebrated my first year of wrestling back in October. But I'm hoping that here eventually I get the opportunity to increase my gear, and I've been looking at different catchphrases I could put not only on my tights, but an insignia on my boots or something to help me stand out. And that sounds like I would definitely put that phrase on my cape or something else, maybe even a T-shirt.
Oh, okay, King, I am right subjects. Oh, that'd be very good. Okay. All right. Well, King Marcus, at number 33 in this greatest ring names of all time, was the Mongolian Stomper, and at number 28 was Sputnik Monroe. That's just an observation. There's no question involved.
Okay. I've heard of the Mongolian Stomper. I know that they've mentioned him a lot, especially in the, not the Midwest, but Michigan. I remember Harley Race mentioning him at least a couple times during the training camp. Sputnik, I'm not too familiar with, but I've always believed in trying to extend my knowledge about wrestling past and seeing what the past had to offer as a means to help out with further psychology, more moves that I can do, just something to help me in my future.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we at Turnbuckle Turmoil will give you two homework assignments. One is to Google search the wrestler Sputnik Monroe.
Okay.
And the second one is to go on YouTube and look up old Portland wrestling clips of the wrestler Rip Oliver.
Whit Walmer?
Rip Oliver.
Rip Oliver.
His clan. Yes.
All right, then. I can definitely do that.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Okay. Your time will not be wasted. All right?
All right.
Well, King Marcus, I saw your YouTube video entitled Lasso Garibay versus Marcus King Anderson in SCW, and this took place this December in Seattle.
Yes.
You made your entrance and were up on the ring apron at the minute and 25-second mark, and I couldn't help but notice that the crown you wore looked surprisingly familiar and similar with the tiara that the lovely Lila Lodge used to wear at the Tulalip Championship Wrestling matches in Marysville, Washington, and the one that Dr. Sheldon Cooper bought for Amy Farrah Fowler on The Big Bang Theory. Are there any truths? Are there any truths to the rumor that your crown was melted down, were the melted down tiaras of either of these two women, and reforged in a Bethlehem, Pennsylvania steel furnace and remade into your crown?
No truth to that whatsoever. I had a lot of friends, a lot of blacksmiths forged that crown for me. They came together one day and decided that they wanted to make something representative of the King Marcus Anderson, and they gave me that crown.
Oh, okay. Now, were they the sons and daughters of medieval steel workers?
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Very good. All right. Well, Marcus, at the 5:07 mark, Mr. Garibay came off the ropes, got you in a modified full Nelson, and then proceeded to give you a Russian leg sweep face plant. My question is, having felt a Lasso Garibay full Nelson, were you a big fan of the Chris Masters Master Lock?
I was. for a man his size to be more or less tossing somebody around in that manner with just the full Nelson. I remember one of the first times I saw him wrestle, and he put on the, I believe he was holding the Master Lock Challenge at that time, and I don't know who it was, but it was absolutely devastating, just absolutely impressive to see that. That being said, being flailed around like that, I have yet to have that happen to me. I welcome the opportunity and the challenge of somebody trying to pick me up and putting me in a move similar to that. But the aided slam with the full Nelson was something else. Probably one of the harder moves I felt, but it's still not enough to keep a king down.
Wow, all right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, in your opinion, if Chris Masters could travel back in time, could he have kept Calhoun in the Master Lock?
You know, I don't think he could have. I've heard legendary tales of Haystacks Calhoun. I don't know quite what his wingspan was or how big his shoulders were, but I know that Masters would have had the toughest time trying to put the Master Lock on Haystacks Calhoun. I don't even think they would have been able to pick him up, let alone flail him around. He might have been able to lock it in, but, you know, honestly, I don't see it being a very effective move on Haystacks.
Oh, okay, all right, very good. Now, at the 5:35 mark of this match with Lasso Garibay, you whipped Garibay off the ropes, brought him up to your waist, pivoted 180 degrees, and gave him a sidewalk slam. You then hooked one leg and got a two count out of this. I have since shown this video to Ron von Frankenhess, and he said you probably could have gotten the pin had you put your full weight on Garibay's chest or hooked both legs instead of one. Do you believe Ron von Frankenhess was correct in his video analysis in hindsight?
I, looking back on it, and I have watched the clip several times, I do believe that I would have. It admittedly, my judgment, my excitement for wrestling in Seattle, let alone wrestling for SCW at a charity event, my excitement was at an all-time high. I was not in the right state of mind, and I could have easily, I feel like his assessment was right. Had I thought a little bit clearer, and put my full weight down or hooked both legs, I would have gotten the win easily.
Whoa, all right, okay. All right, something to keep in mind in the future. Very good. All right. Well, at the 6:24 mark, Garibay had a two-count pin attempt on you, but you managed to kick out. You then looked out at the crowd and said, "Shut up, pheasants." Now, King Marcus, I was at a wrestling event about 5 years ago when Emperor Void's Raven broke free of its tethered perch and flew into the stands to startle the spectators. Could it be that you may have mistaken the cawing of Emperor Void's Raven for the pheasants you heard at this point in the match?
I believe that I had said peasants. I might have gotten a little, yes. Those fans were, I wouldn't say they were unruly, but they weren't giving me the proper respect that I so deserve. I tried to toss it up between peasants, peons, pigs, swines, that sort of thing. I also like using the, I like calling people idiots. So, although I wouldn't mind calling people pheasants, that nobody's expecting that nowadays, and I like to set myself apart from the others. So, anything that gets a point across that I, as a king, am better than all the lowly subjects that I wrestle for, the better.
Wow, pheasants. Okay. Have you ever done any pheasant hunting in Idaho?
I have not. I have heard that there is very good pheasant hunting out here. I have yet to go, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, are there any plans to change your king title to emperor in 2017?
Honestly, not yet. I much like the king title, and it's grown on me the last little bit. Eventually, if I were to go to a different country, say China, Japan, I don't know if there might be wrestling in Mongolia, but I could be wrong. Maybe then would be the appropriate time to change to emperor, but until then, I will be sticking with the king.
Okay, how about monarch?
That was one of the names I had been tossing around for quite some time. I was worried, though, that I would be confused with the monarch from the Venture Brothers cartoon show. And so I decided that king would be a much more appropriate title.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Marcus, you stood on the second turnbuckle and took flight and attempted to drive your fist, piston-like, into Lasso Garibay, but he moved and your fist drove into the mat. In hindsight, are you glad you removed your royal wedding ring before the start of the match?
I feel like there's a reference here somewhere, and I'm not too sure, because I don't wear rings. That's the thing. If I had a ring, I can guarantee that it wouldn't be, it would be a very simple golden ring. I'm not saying Lord of the Rings style, but just a simple wedding band. I would probably tape my ring finger up, but honestly, I would worry that with how many punches I throw, a lot of them being very brutal, I would actually break a ring that I would have. So besides the crown and my scepter, I choose not to wear jewelry to the ring.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell us if you're currently divorced or in separation status from a royal queen?
I am actually not married at this time. I have yet to be married, but I hope to wed here within the next maybe 4 or 5 years, after I've gotten more of a stable foothold with my wrestling, and have visited a lot of places I wanted to see for the wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully there are some royal dating sites out there on the computer, royal dating sites. Okay. Well, Marcus, can you tell us what part of Idaho you're currently in? Didn't you say the town Middleton earlier in the interview with Sondheim, Middleton?
Yes. So currently I reside in Boise, Idaho. With Boise, we're very close to several smaller cities throughout our valley. The main ones that we have operated out of are Caldwell, Boise, of course, Middleton, Idaho, and Emmett, Idaho, and I believe Nampa, Idaho as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, King Marcus, is it true that the movie Napoleon Dynamite was filmed in Idaho, and are you yourself a big fan of the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
The movie was filmed here. I want to say it was filmed in Stanley, Idaho. I could be mistaken. As far as the movie itself, I am not. Unfortunately, it just came down to seeing it everywhere. People saying that this is the greatest film of all time, which I highly, highly debate. Was it funny for what it was, all the quirkiness? I suppose, but unfortunately, I believe the term overhyped it comes to play.
Oh, all right. Okay, overhyped. Okay. In your opinion, would Kit's love interest, LaFonda, be able to go a minute and a half in the ring with Lasso Garibay?
You know what? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, I was surprised by your lack of tattoos in contrast with the many tattoos of the Lost Soul. Are there any truth to the rumors that you are going to get a Yosemite Sam and his green dragon and a drawbridge with Castle for the upcoming spring?
What was that called?
Yosemite Sam and his green dragon and a drawbridge with a castle. There's rumors out there.
Did you just make a Looney Tunes reference?
Well, it could be a Looney Tunes reference, yes. If it has Yosemite Sam in it, yes.
No truth to that whatsoever. That was a magnificent picture that you painted in my mind just now. But no, there are no truth to those rumors.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm slightly disappointing there. Okay. All right. Well, King Marcus, have you ever been in any mixed gender tag team matches?
I haven't. Not. I have yet to be. I know that California likes to do those quite a bit. We haven't had anything of the sort just yet here in Idaho. But honestly, I wouldn't turn down the opportunity because at the end of the day, it's more experience.
Okay. Because personally, I'd like to see you go undercover, shed your crown and royal cape, and wrestle in a mixed-gender lucha match. That'd be awesome. Yes.
I would like that. It'd be an interesting change of pace, but it goes back to just getting more experience in the ring. I'm slightly open to ideas, yes.
Wow. Now, we should run a contest on Turnbuckle Turmoil to give King Marcus a lucha name for the future. Yes.
I think that's appropriate, yes.
Do we have your permission to run a King Marcus, what would his lucha name be contest? That's the main question.
Yes, you do. You have my permission.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I will get together with Sean Guy and start that going. Okay, very good. All right. Well, King Marcus, Turnbuckle Turmoil, along with the Sign Guy Wrestling Show, publishes a Northwest Top 9 7/8 weekly wrestler rankings. Lost Soul Garibay has achieved a number one ranking in the past, along with DeMarcus James, CJ Edwards, and Pa Moonshine, among others. Sunny Days has achieved the number two rank on numerous occasions, but not yet number one. Even the Greaser, Ronnie Angel, and Donald Trump have achieved number one rankings, as well as the USS Arizona. Would you consider it a high honor and one of the wrestling goals in the new year to achieve a Turnbuckle Turmoil number one ranking?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, okay. Do you agree that the USS Arizona should have been ranked number one?
No. That is a ship, and that's just bloated. That's why a ship would even be allowed on a wrestling list is...
Well, it was the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, yes.
okay, if that were the case, then yes, I suppose that would be okay. It just, have you ever seen a airship carrier take a suplex before?
A suplex? No. That is a good point.
I'm just saying, from a logical standpoint, I mean, if it were to commemorate an anniversary, that's one thing, yes. But from a wrestling logic standpoint, I don't know about that. That's questionable.
Oh, okay, well, the 9 7/8 Northwest Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings do create a lot of controversy, yes. And it's not one that we shy away from, okay? Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, King, will you be in action any time from now until Christmas?
No, for right now, we're taking a slight break. I'm working on just on my cardio and everything else. So between now and Christmas, I won't be. However, I will be in action at the Idaho Potato Drop here in Boise, Idaho, on the 31st. For their New Year's celebrations.
Wow, very nice. Okay. Well, now we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you were given a choice between two subject matters, and you're required to make a quick choice between the two said subject matters. It will be a limited edition Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk because we're running short on time. Picture yourself on a psychiatrist couch, and you're supposed to make these quick comparisons. Are you ready?
I believe so.
All right. Harley Race or Booker T?
Harley Race.
One Man Gang or Goldust? Wildfire Tommy Rich or Macho Man Randy Savage?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Rick Rude or Samoa Joe?
Rick Rude.
Arn Anderson or Rob Van Dam? Rob Van Dam.
What was the first choice?
Arn Anderson.
Oh. Arn Anderson.
All right. Jerry Lawler or Jeff Hardy?
Jerry Lawler.
Deep-fried turkey or honey-glazed ham?
The turkey.
All right. Hershey's Kiss or Kit Kat Bar?
Kit Kat Bar.
All right. And the last one, Wind Sprint Workout or Strongman Competition?
Strongman Competition.
All right. Okay. Well, Royal King, it was nice talking with you. And I will now turn it back over to Sign Guy. And I will get started with Sign Guy after the show on giving you a lucha name for the new year.
Thank you so much.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you.
Thank you, QT. Well, King, we discussed earlier how you have gone not only around various towns in Idaho, but also to Utah and to Seattle, as we said. Every show is different, and every area has different tastes as far as the fans as a whole go. Have you noticed wrestling in different towns, how the different crowds react to you, not necessarily the same way as if you're in your home base at Wrestle Club?
A little bit. It hasn't been as, I'd say that when I was in Utah, the reaction was very much similar to here in Idaho. Washington, it took a moment, but afterwards I believe that the fans started to respond to me in a similar fashion that they do here back at home.
We talked earlier of your favorite memories with the fans. Have you to date had an experience where the fans did not want to, leave well enough alone from their seat and try to interject themselves into your match?
I have yet to come across that, actually. You know, it's one of those things that I've seen before. Honestly, I don't know what would happen. Obviously, I'm more focused on my opponent when I'm in the ring. So honestly, I'd probably just extend my arm out and just kind of hold them by the head while they swing wildly at me before, like, security or referee manages to hop in. But honestly, I don't think that I would throw a punch. Why would I waste my time on somebody that wouldn't even wrestle?
As long as they aren't carrying a knife or something, I think that's a sound strategy.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd be a little worried at that point if they were carrying a knife. But, you know, let's move on to something else, because I honestly don't know how to... I've never come across that. I hope in my lifetime I never come across that. But nowadays, you never know.
You never know. I once had a kid of probably 6 years old try to interfere in a match in Alaska. It was a little bit awkward.
That does actually remind me. This last January, I don't know if we have time for a story or not. Do we?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So last January, we were at the Fort Idaho Center for the Kenyon Kenny Kids Fair. And I was in the back. I wasn't actually wrestling in the match. But there was a tag team match going on between Pride of Olympus and Helter Skelter. During the match, it was Sean Skelter that started racking one of the Pride members on the turnbuckle post, and I was watching this, and I saw this little kid, probably about, I'd say 6 or 7, run up and try to push Skelter out of the way. Clearly, this fan was a Pride of Olympus fan, and just kept on pushing him, and I think he even tried throwing a fist at Skelter's leg, and Skelter, in a moment, just turns to the kid, cocks his fist like he's going to actually deck the kid, and just says, "Get on out of here." Like, he just tells him he's not having any of it, and the look on the kid's face of pure utter shock was absolutely astounding to me. I know that later on the kid had sat down, just was quiet the entire show afterwards. The Pride of Olympus came up to him and talked to him for a bit. I know that Skelter apologized for what he had said. Probably one of the most, at that time, I had yet to come across anything like that before, because this kid clearly loved Pride of Olympus, loved watching him, and was doing what any normal fan would do and get impassioned during a match. Unfortunately, just took it one step further and challenged the wrong man.
It sometimes happens. Now, we are down to the last little bit of the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything that you have, social medias, any merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right, then. To be honest, I wasn't expecting this far. I know for a fact, as I've mentioned earlier on, we do have an event coming up. It'll be December 31st at the Boise Capitol Building. It's for their Idaho Potato Drop, and the city of Boise has invited Wrestle Club to put on a show before the Before the potato drop here, we drop potatoes here in Idaho to signify the new year coming in. Bizarre, yes, but it's Idaho, so, you know, whatever. So we will have a stacked card for that event. After that, there is another show to kick off the new year. It's January 28th at the Ford Idaho Center at the Canyon County Kids Fair. I believe there haven't been a whole lot of matches announced just yet. I know that we're working on it right now. There is a big over-the-top battle royal. The winner receives a title shot the same night for the Wrestle Club Heavyweight Championship. So anybody that's listening that has never been to Idaho before or wants to see what Idaho professional wrestling is all about, I would highly recommend making the drive, making the flight to come out, exploring the cities, and just checking out Idaho in wintertime and seeing the best professional wrestling that Idaho has to offer. Besides that, honestly, it just my main goal with my time here in Wrestle Club has always been to inform people here in Idaho that there is professional wrestling here, and it doesn't have to come from a bigger company or, you know, on a TV screen or a computer screen. We have events that we run here on the regular that are not only solid professional wrestling, some of the best professional wrestling that I've seen, but we try to help out with various local charities, the Idaho Food Bank, the Special Olympics Idaho, and just trying to help better our friends and family in the community through just professional wrestling. Besides that, I know that this will be a big year for Wrestle Club. We're looking to not only extend our presence in the cities, but possibly around the state. And we've already wrestled in several different promotions here, or not only here, but in Utah and Seattle. But we're hoping to further the message that there is professional wrestling here in Idaho. And anybody that wants to come and join, train with us, they're more than welcome to, you know, check us out. Get a little wild, chase your dreams, that sort of thing.
Well, King, it has been a delight having you on Turnbuckle Turmoil for the very first time ever. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the rest of the Wrestle Club guys as they continue to do very good things out there in Idaho, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to the next time as well.
All right, fans, if you're not on board with it, jump on the bandwagon for Wrestle Club. Those guys doing great things out there, constantly getting better, constantly expanding. So get on board. King Marcus Anderson, a fantastic travel companion. If you're looking for a travel companion, if you're in the business, you only lost one pair of underwear so far. Fans, check him out. He's on the YouTubes. And we will be back with you next week.